Hello, everybody, and welcome to Push My Buttons Games podcast. It's me. It's Luke. I'm back. We have a great show for you today, talking some E3 news, some God of War 2, some CD Projekt Red, and everyone's favorite video game movie, Super Mario Brothers. But I got some other people's with
whoa,
me.
So whoa,
I think whoa.
Whoa. You have other people's with you? Or yes. Are you with us?
Listen. I created the episode, so technically this time you're with me.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
So we've got Mr. Dungeon Master Mike.
Hi. Today's
get
drink.
To go first.
Today's drink is 2 melted cherry IC pops mixed with 4 shots of Bacardi coconut rum.
Ooh.
And it does not taste bad.
Were you out of tequila?
It's gonna hurt tomorrow.
You know what? I have yet to have a hangover.
What, like ever?
Ever.
Oh, Mike, when you
come
visit,
I've been getting hangovers since I was 16.
Mike, when you come back and visit, we now have a new goal.
Oh, okay.
We'll just sit you down with a bottle, 2 shot glasses, and it'll be you and our friend Jose, and you guys will just go.
Have any of you guys played Edward 40 Hands?
Yes.
Great pastime in the military.
You know what we need to do? We need to play Among Us.
I would do it.
We need to play Among Us and then have an Among Us drinking game.
Yes. That sounds fantastic. But so we have Dungeon Master Mike. We've got Spectacular Panda Pat.
Me. Go on me. It's not as fun because I didn't get to go first, so I'm over it. Screw you guys. I'm going home. Just kidding.
And
Captain Platinum is here.
Awesome. What was your latest Platinum?
Pink Man Plus.
Do you get like jonesing when you don't have a platinum lined up next?
A little bit.
Do you get like
I do. That's what's going on right now.
Like a crackhead. Yep. You're like scratching. You wake up in the middle of like Rayman Legends. That's it.
Screw that game. It's the multiplayer, man. I've already done all the single player stuff.
Oh man. Okay. So let's start out with one of the bigger things. We got the E3 2021 schedule came out.
Yes, it did.
So again, it's much like last year with a lot of if I remember what it was, it's not like a physical. It's a physical one. It's more of a remote like they did last year, where it's just trailers. And trailers. And then, honestly, I think these developers and these guys that work on the games love this because they can take 78 different takes so they're not seen as extra awkward human beings.
You remember the Ubisoft dude that's like, what do you say? Poop on a toothbrush? And he would say that repeatedly, and he thought he was being funny.
Yes.
And he just got more and more cringy.
I remember liking the guy. The bike game, Blood Dragon. We played it one time, Mike. Where it's like a 2D side scroller, like just doing jumps and stuff. And it's set in I'm dying right now. But I remember it. But I remember they were like 2 Swedish guys, and he straight came out in a little baby motorcycle with like a crash helmet on, and he committed to the bit because he went like straight through the podium, and that was one of the best ones. Or when they brought Andrew WK out for the Rage thing at Bethesda, and he's out there rocking, and nobody in the crowd is into it. They're all just sitting there like, okay, we would like to see some Skyrims or some Fallouts, please. Can you get off the stage, please?
E3 is such a mixed bag, man. I kind of live for the cringe.
And if you guys have not watched it, Polygon, the Unraveled, the guide to the E3 presentation where he goes through and he's like, you know, they have to have business gamer fashion.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
which
yeah.
Which are jeans, a video game t-shirt, and a sports blazer over it, saying, I'm one of you, but I'm way more successful.
You want to talk about gamer fashion.
Business gamer fashion.
For the fans that are into hip-hop culture, there are going to be Sonic necklaces.
Yes. Yes. I mean,
like,
there are.
I'm not like bagging on the Sonic necklaces at all. They really do look good. It's just the way how it was delivered is an example mm-hmm. of what I want to see in E3.
Mm-hmm.
For the fans that are tuned in to the hip hop culture.
So the best thing about
the waiting for Steve Buscemi to deliver the line with the skateboard.
The best thing about those presentations are right at the end they go, "Oh, and one more thing." And then they play the thing that everyone's been waiting for. They do it every year. I know we've talked about it a bunch on all of our E3 episodes that we've done. But all right, so it starts on Saturday, June 12th. We got the Ubisoft Forward, which I'm going to be into.
Yeah,
because I'm an Ubisoft whore.
Yeah, you are, and I enjoy Ubisoft as well. But again, mm-hmm. I mean, this is E3, but they always have to do a freaking weekend. We were just talking about this a minute ago. I'm like, why is it on a Saturday? Mm-hmm. But E3 makes sense.
Yeah. So there's they're talking about the new Rainbow Six game, Tom Clancy stuff, and they're also going to do, I think, like Far Cry 6, Riders Republic, because you know how I love those fucking games, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and they're also going to talk about their upcoming film and TV stuff, which I like. You've got Tom Clancy's stuff, guys. You should be doing TV and movies because he's literally an author. He's got all the stories out there, which is again one of my biggest gripes about Rainbow Six Siege. Take something that's based on a book and take all story away and only multiplayer. But it's successful and I have to wait another decade to get a Rainbow Six game that I'm going to like. But yeah. And then
Rainbow Six is just like Call of Duty wannabe?
They've always been because they were one of the first ones that if you get shot, you die. Like if it's way more, you're not just running around, you know, sliding like you're sliding into second with a LMG machine gun, just blowing people away like you do in Call of Duty. Like, no, you have to go up to the door. Like, it's way more tactical. You, like, put the little snake cam under the door to see where the enemies are at, and then you coordinate with your other teammates to, like, blow the doors open and go in and clear the room, and it's, like, hostage rescue. But there's been, like, Vegas 2 was, like, for me, was the peak of Rainbow Six. I know a lot of people will say Siege because they're into the multiplayer, and it is a really good game, gameplay-wise, but it just had no story, so I was out. But yeah, it is like Call of Duty, but it is also like way more tactical. They try and lean into the realism a little bit more, or they used to. So that would be the biggest difference that I could say.
That's what it seems to me. So I think you hit it from what I've seen and watched people play of them.
Yeah. Also, they make destructible environments, which is great because they can just blow a hole through a wall if you guys reinforce the door, which is like, okay, yeah, no, that's what they would do. It would just knock a hole in the wall. Then we've got Gearbox Entertainment. Not really. They're the Borderlands developer, so not a lot of leaked info on what else they have. But did you guys see the character posters for the Borderlands movie?
I have not.
No.
Yeah, it's just outlines of them on the stairs and stuff like that, but a lot of like people that are voicing, like Jack Black I've never played Borderlands, but he's like a little robot guy. But Jack Black is voicing him, so he was one that shared it. But yeah, so that looked pretty cool. I hope it's good. Mm-hmm. I always hope every video game movie is good so we can have some good video game movies. And then we go to Sunday, June 13th is where we're going to get the Xbox and Bethesda showcase, which is probably, you know, it's probably going to be that between that and Nintendo are going to be the bigger, bigger announcement things, I think.
Yeah. What do you guys think? That's what I'm thinking. Those will be the bigger ones.
And is Todd Howard going to get up there and say something awkwardly sexual?
Todd Howard just needs to fuck right off and not Listen, talk.
You're in his backyard. He might show up at your door with his leather jacket on going.
You have no clue. Hey. Yeah, he's really. I am in his backyard.
He'll just show up at your house.
From Bethesda.
He'll just show up at your house and he'll be like, hey, I heard you were busy with one hand. Here's something you could do with another hand. It's my new handheld Bethesda game.
Oh, Jesus.
Here's what you can do with your
That's what he said when he was talking about the what was it? The Blades game. The mobile game. He's like, sometimes you don't need both hands to play.
Oh my god.
And everyone was like, oh Todd.
And Pat's just like, god damn.
I live for it, though. You would talk about living for cringe. That's where I live. Anytime Todd Howard's on stage, I'm like, all right.
Anytime Todd right. Howard needs to breathe a syllable is what I live for.
It's the best. But yeah, they said so. Xbox and Bethesda said that they will focus on games from Xbox Game Studios, Bethesda, and many game creators from our partners around the world. So, generic blanket statement. Do you think we will see anything for the next Elder Scrolls game?
Ooh, that's a tough one because they're still selling Skyrim.
They're always going to sell Skyrim.
Honestly, I think eternity. I think they're going to focus more. What's that one other game that they were talking about?
Starbound.
Starfall.
Their new
Star
IP.
Something.
Yeah.
I'm picturing Starfall.
I'm picturing this video game, and it's like the star because it's star is in its title, and it's just like the star. There's a picture of Panda Pat with like a star around her, like profile picture, the star, but like.
Starfield. Sorry, it's Starfield.
There we go. Starfield. No, I don't. I think they're going to allude to it. I don't think they're going to actually give us information, but that's the closest thing that's coming up.
Mm-hmm. And they'll talk about new expansions for Fallout 76.
People still paying attention to that?
I don't know. I was so upset with it.
I was going to ask, is Skyrim Bethesda's Resident Evil 4, like Capcom's Resident Evil 4, like they're always just like pushing that out again?
It's worse. It's always worse.
You can play it on Alexa. You can. That's not a joke. If you have an Alexa, you can say, Alexa, play Skyrim.
Oh, can
Resident
I do that on my
Evil
fridge door?
4?
I don't know. I think someone hacked it, but I don't think it comes with all the LG fridge doors. But if you have an Alexa, you can do it 100%.
Yeah.
Sorry, I cut you off, Mike. What were you going to say?
I feel like Skyrim has been imported into every single imaginable piece of technology with a screen. There is a mod for it that's actually available on Steam. Like it was a mod, but now it's got its own Steam page called like Elden Rod or something like that.
Elden Ring
or something weird like that. And it says straight up, like this is a Skyrim mod. You need to have Skyrim and it's free to play.
Oh no, sorry. Elden Ring is the game that's coming out from Software.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, so it's not Elden one. Ring. Oh, Ardenfell or something like that.
Mm.
Like if I reinstall Skyrim, it will be to play that because, like, that was made by people who were like, I want to play more Skyrim, but I'm bored of Skyrim, and so they made an entire new game with an entire new piece like land, entire new lore, and it only got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It's like, I think the mod itself is bigger than Skyrim.
Right. There is a mod that if you're a Star Wars fan that you might want to play, that it puts the planet that all of the Skyrim, all the Elder Scrolls games take place. They put it in the universe of Star Wars, that it's an Outer World planet, and Grand Admiral Thrawn crashes in a Star Destroyer, and then all of a sudden you've got stormtroopers and you're fighting them with your magic yells.
How?
Every time you yell at the stormtroopers, they do the yell.
How crazy have we gotten with mods nowadays?
That's crazy.
Like,
listen,
mods,
I live
mods
for it.
Mods came around when games stopped including cheat codes or like little
the
cheat,
game genie.
The game genie, right? And then they're like, when games started to get more complicated and they stopped including cheat codes and cheat passwords and shit. Like, remember Tarok, the big cheat?
Oh, yeah.
Right? And like, that's when people are like, you know what? God damn it, I want to cheat. And so, like, the mods started off with, like, infinite experience points. Or you have to install this script and it will trick the engine to make this fight easier or whatever. And now we have fucking Thomas the Tank Engine chasing you in Resident Evil.
Screaming like Macho
YouTube,
Man Randy Savage.
Resident Evil Village has, okay, if you go on YouTube and you look up, and this is not for people who have not completed Resident Evil Village yet, but if you type in Resident Evil, but it's ruined by mods, the main character, Ethan Winters, is Mickey. Mia is Minnie Mouse. The baby is a player from the Dodgers. The first gun is a banana. The knife is a spoon. Chickens are from Chicken Run. Pigs are Pumbaa. Lady Dimitrescu has a Thomas the Tank Engine head. And like one of the main bad guys is Woody. They completely redubbed Ethan's lines to have a Mickey voice.
Oh, God.
If you play Resident Evil 3, you can mod Nemesis to be Thomas the Tank Engine, or you can mod him to be Ultron, or you can mod him to be Kratos, and you can mod Jill to be Lady Dimitrescu. Nice. And it's insane just how crazy the mod scene has become. And we used to be like, dude, we used to do stuff like, I just want infinite life or infinite ammo or.
Listen, you can still do that thing without going down the rabbit hole. It's just self-control.
It's impossible. You see Thomas the Tank Engine and you're just like, I want you. And it just happens.
That's the name of the episode. Thomas the Tank Engine, I want you.
For God's sake. People have made porn mods of Resident Evil Village. And they made the knife a fly swatter so you can go out to Lady Dimitrescu and smack her in the ass.
Yes.
Like, these are mods today. Damn. And now you're talking about Skyrim with, like, Thrawn crashing in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. Okay, so next we have the Square Enix panel.
I have high expectations for this one.
It said it's going to give an update on Platinum Games' Babylon Fall, a closer look at Life is Strange True Colors and Life is Strange Remastered Collection, and details on the Black Panther War for Wakanda expansion for Marvel's Avengers, which I still haven't played, and I think, Jamie, you're the only one that I know that has.
I have the game. I have the game, yeah, and it's been okay. But yeah, Spider-Man was supposed to be out already, too, so War for Wakanda, I think, was supposed to be out in December. So, yeah, and I'm surprised they didn't say anything about Final Fantasy 16 in here under Square Enix.
Or
they probably will. I'm expecting Final Fantasy 16.
What about
Dragon Age 12?
What
not
about
Dragon Age 12?
Quest
12.
Dragon Quest 12, okay. What about the next installment of 7 Remake? Do you think we'll hear anything on that or at least see a screen?
With 7 Remake.
Oh man, the inner grade. Is that what it's called? Comes out on Thursday?
Oh yeah.
So yeah. Yeah. Which I didn't realize on PS5. I thought we were getting it as part of the PS5. You actually have to buy that, is what the guy told me today at the store.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's a free upgrade from PS4 to PS5 if you have the disc, but you have to then buy the Yuffie story on PS5 for whatever Square Enix charges for that, which I don't know what that's going to be.
Yeah, I don't think they've said anything yet. And so then Monday, We get Capcom and Take-Two Interactive. We've got some. We've got the great Ace Attorney collection, which I would love to play. Monster Hunter Stories 2 and Resident Evil 4 for Oculus VR. So there's your Resident Evil 4.
Yep.
But Capcom also reportedly has more Ace Attorney and Resident Evil games in its plan. Yeah. What do you guys think about that?
So I just thought of it as we were talking, but we moved on. But actually, I think Skyrim probably goes more with GTA 5.
That's a better.
I was like, when are we going to get a GTA 6? Because they just keep rehashing 5. Yeah, I don't have the Oculus VR. I'm not really into Monster Hunter. I want to try those out and see if I like those. And I've never tried the Ace Attorney, so
I can't
object.
Maybe Capcom also is Mega Man, right? Yeah, it'd be cool to see something from that. The last Marvel versus Capcom didn't do too well, right? That one went.
Yeah.
Oh no, that killed the series.
Yeah, I think I was gonna say. Yeah. I think that one's done now.
Isn't that the one that got replaced in Evo with Fighters, Mike, a couple years back?
No, it didn't get replaced with Fighters. Fighters was already in it. It got replaced by Skullgirls.
I remember it got booted out of the lineup.
Skullgirls is an older game. It came out like 2014 or 13, a while ago. And they decided to kick out Marvel versus Capcom Infinite and replace it with Skullgirls. And that was kind of like, that was a big hit. That was when people realized Marvel versus Capcom's not coming back.
Right. Go ahead.
I was about to say something and I forgot.
Okay. Well, if you remember, we'll come back to it. Okay. Next on Tuesday the 15th, we have the Nintendo Direct and Treehouse Live. Do you think we will hear anything about Metroid?
I'm hoping.
Nope. Absolutely not.
Maybe another teaser trailer.
Because that's what everyone wants. Yep.
Well, I bet you we see more Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
More of the new Pokemon games. They're probably, I would not be surprised if they start pitching an expansion for the following year for Pokemon Snap. Because if it's going along the lines of their last Pokemon game, they realize they can do expansions and DLC now. So I wouldn't be surprised at that.
I think we'll get the last two fighters for Smash Bros.
What about the next Mario game?
Possibly. I'm thinking if it's anything, it's Breath of the Wild 2. Again, because
You don't think maybe Odyssey 2 or the sequel to Odyssey or maybe a follow-up to Galaxy or Sunshine or something like that?
It's hard to tell because Nintendo has a really awesome policy of we are not announcing games unless we are between 6 months to a year out. So it could be something that like they are ready to release. Because like basically you have to look at games that have had a few years since its release. And then you can be like, I wonder if Nintendo will announce that, and then it'll be out in like 6 months, right?
Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Odyssey and Breath of the Wild come out in the same year?
No,
right? Breath of the Wild came out before Odyssey.
I'll check. Continue.
If they did, it was
launched one in the spring and one in the fall, or something like that.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was. Yeah, cause, Breath of the Wild was a launch title, and it played on both Wii U and Switch.
Odyssey is 2017.
And that's probably the same year as the Switch. Was it 17?
Breath of the Wild was 2017.
Okay, so same year, just different seasons.
March for
Zelda
and
October.
So we know
October for Mario. Spring and fall.
So we know Breath of the Wild is going to Breath of the Wild 2 is coming out. We know that's being worked on.
Mm-hmm.
So I would not be surprised if we get like an Odyssey 2 announcement.
Oh, what about anything on the next step of the Switch? Whatever they're going to call it. Do you think we get any update on that?
Yes.
So you're...
I'm putting money down on that.
So that's what everybody wants. So we're going to get that, but not the other.
Jason Schreier, was it him? There was a leak. Oh, man. Otherwise, this is just hearsay. But I read a leak about, like, it's actually in the works.
Okay.
And so, if it doesn't get announced in E3...
They'll do it in a follow-up direct sometime later.
Yeah. It is definitely in the works. I've heard it is supposed to be released in 2021.
Yes.
So if it's going to be released this year, I would not be surprised if they announce it at E3.
Yeah. I would think if they're releasing it for holiday or before holiday, like November-ish, October, November, they've got to announce it now.
Right. Okay, and the next one is another one I'm pretty excited for because I'm fingers crossed. Bandai Namco.
Yes.
And that's where I get my helping of Dragon Ball everything.
Oh yes, there is. There's going to
be. But what I'm hoping for is another Xenoverse game. So I can just move on to off of Xenoverse 2 that I've been playing since 2016 religiously.
It really depends on if they are planning Fighters 2 or not. Here's my theory. For fighting games... Oh, doggies, stop it. Sorry.
You speaking of fighting games...
Right as I'm talking. So, fighting games will cycle out. Oh my gosh, guys! Sorry about that. So fighting games cycle out fairly quickly. There are theories in the fighting game community. Just so that our listeners know, I love fighting games, but I'm not competitive. There's no way I can be competitive in fighting games. I just don't have the time. But there is talk in the fighting community saying that like Fighters has had roughly the same amount of content as any other fighting game has before they die. And when a fighting game dies, that does not mean that like it's dead, no one plays it. What it means is it is complete and people continually get good at the final state of the game. And so if Fighters truly is done, then there may be a Fighters 2. If there isn't a Fighters 2, then we may see a Xenoverse, or we may see, like, a different Dragon Ball IP.
It could be to go with Kakarot. That's the one I think we're going to get Kakarot.
Here's the reason why I think
we're gonna get
a brand new IP. It's because their contract states that they have to release a new Dragon Ball game every 2 years. And Kakarot, which was the latest game, came out, a year and a half ago?
Yeah, something like that.
So I think we're going to get a new IP. Or we're going to get a new entry in a series already.
So I don't... So this is my thing. So yeah, Bandai is doing it, but the developers for Fighters are Arc System Works, and for Xenoverse, it's Dimps. So it's not... I don't think it would have to be exclusive... for them, they could probably do both. I bet you we get more DLC for Kakarot announced.
I think it depends on budget. Whatever Bamco, that's what I call them. I call them Bamco. whatever Bamco has budgeted out, because they subcontract right these games out,
right?
And Bamco goes ahead and publishes it. So I mean, like, it's very possible that they're gonna have like DLC for Kakarot, a new Xenoverse, and a new Fighters because they come from all different studios.
See, then I would just die. And they
oh my gosh, oh man, but it would depend on how much money they've got put aside for those projects.
Okay, but what about Code Vein?
See, the anime titty is a very interesting physics project because they move. Completely different.
This is true.
Than any physics has laid out for us in any textbook.
Mm-hmm.
Code Vein was successful. I don't know why we have not seen more Code Vein DLC. I liked Code Vein. The only reason why I stopped it was because I was like, I can kind of see where this goes. It wasn't necessarily difficult, but if we see another Code Vein, that would be cool.
It looks like, you know, they're the ones doing that Elden Ring, so that'll probably be their big thing. Mm-hmm. But what, you know what? I'm just cruising around, seeing stuff. They do still own the IP rights for the Gundam series. How would you feel about a new Gundam game?
I never got into Gundam.
Really?
And that's not because I think Gundam is bad. I don't think Gundam is bad. I think Gundam is a staple. I never got into Gundam. So, I mean, it's possible. Personally, I would love to see Xenosaga.
Okay.
Which is the PlayStation 2 series that had its roots in Xenogears. And then they were like, no, let's make it its own thing. It's going to be Xenosaga. And it was a 3 video game entry thing. I would love to see a port. It doesn't even have to be a remaster. I would love to see a port. It was heavily criticized for way too much dialogue and way too much cinematics rather than actual gameplay.
Okay.
But I would love to see that.
And then they, so moving on, they're going to wrap up we're going to wrap up E3 with the EA Play Live. Do you think we'll get Dragon Age?
Or EA Play is in July.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. July 22nd. My bad.
No worries.
I don't think we're going to get Dragon Age for a while.
I think we might get more updates on it. I don't think we're going to get a release date. I don't think we're going to get a full trailer, but I think we're going to get updates on it. We're working on it, guys. Get off our asses.
We will get a logo.
Yes. Yes.
Because they scratched Dragon Age again.
Yeah. That's.
Although this I think is a good thing because they were going to insert monetization into it, and then because of the success of Fallen Order, the Star Wars game, and the failure of Anthem, they were like,
"Well, maybe we should rethink this.
Maybe we should actually give people what they want." That's a
clever idea, there, man.
I know. It's just like novel. That's just so such a novel way of thinking,
right? Okay, so moving on from E3, we do have some news on the God of War front, which I am also very on.
E3, 35th anniversary Zelda. This is the thing I thought of. Do you think we'll get like the Mario collection they did last year? Do you think they'll announce something similar for Zelda?
It wouldn't surprise me, but I wouldn't put money on it. You know what I mean?
Just curious if you think they'll do anything, because they didn't say anything for Zelda on its like birthday in Japan, and then they just finished the Mario stuff. So some people are speculating.
Pre-import Link between worlds, put it on a current console.
Okay. So actually that's kind of a good segue before we jump into the God of War stuff. Talking about Nintendo, please put your games on consoles or make them available for us to buy. Jamie, go ahead and let everyone know what they did to all the people that were running the ROMs.
Nintendo just won a lawsuit against a ROM hosting website, and they have been awarded over $2 million in damages.
Which they're not going to get, because the guy is not going to be able to afford it.
It infuriates me. It's like they didn't care for years and years and years and years, and then they're like, oh, wait a minute. Okay. We can now resell it on this platform and make money. Now let's go after them. And I understand it's their IP, and that's their prerogative. They can do with it what they want. But Nintendo is like, there's just like what you said, Mike. How you wanted this, you want this game so bad to be able to play it, and they're like, no.
Okay, but about this ROM thing, if you read the details of it, and this is Drunk Michael recalling facts. So please,
Drunk Michael, recalling facts. Bow.
The guy was selling exclusivity, like download speeds. Basically, if you were downloading ROMs, your download speed was like a kilobyte a second. But if you were to pay a premium, then you would get normal download speeds. So essentially, the argument that Nintendo made was that he was selling ROMs.
I could see that, but this isn't the first time they've shut down. There was like a husband and wife, I think it was like a year and a half ago, before they opened their the NES Classics and the SNES Classics on the Switch. that they weren't doing anything like that. But they came after them for, you know, millions and millions of dollars. And they're like, we just put up ROMs so people can enjoy your games, man. Mm-hmm. You're not doing it.
It's bullshit. But the other thing, too, is the guy did not hire a lawyer.
Right.
Which is a big, big, big mistake. But the reason why he lost, all the facts that I've read so far, is that he was selling premium access to them.
That's what caused him to lose. Yeah.
Now, if someone does it as an archival project, which who's got the time to be able to do that? I know it's been done before, but like that's a huge undertaking. And they can prove like we have not made any money on your IPs. We're just archiving them. That's a different case.
Right.
But this case was argued on the fact that he was making money on their IPs.
And that's understandable. It's just frustrating. But
it does not bode well for people that like to emulate games, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, geez, Nintendo, why don't you actually release stuff on your Nintendo Online Classic shit that people want to play?
Right.
Like maybe Earthbound or Mother 3 that people have been telling you to release for 25 years.
Right. That's the frustrating stuff. It's like, we will give you money.
Maybe it was 15 years. Maybe it was 10 years off.
We will give you money. Just make it available. That's all you got to do is make it available and you'll just be rolling in more money.
I was complaining about this in an earlier episode. Oh my gosh, my drunk loudness is harming this podcast. But I was complaining about this. Like, I do not understand their marketing strategies. Like, the whole Mario 64, Mario Galaxy, and Mario Sunshine, we're only going to have it on the online store for 6 months. Why?
Yeah.
You're going to continue to earn money later on. And not only that, you're giving us access to old games that can be hardly found anywhere.
Yep.
Why are you taking it off and putting it in the... Oh. Nintendo I do not understand it.
Where did Nintendo touch you, Mike?
Point on the picture.
Oh my gosh, guys.
It's all right. I'm there with you. Okay.
There's games I still want to play too, and it gets frustrating. Yeah, that I'm like, why can't I just go easily find this game to play? But I think someone was also saying for these that Nintendo does have to also battle these guys every once in a while, or they could lose their IP rights for their games too if they just let this go and just let people do what they want with them.
Yeah, but all right, before Mike explodes, let's move on. So God of War 2 got delayed to 2022.
Expected.
Which is good, but the biggest thing for me, because this was a big thing, I said, you know, when God of War comes out for PS5, I'll have to get it on, I'll have to buy a PS5. No, the God of War sequel will be coming out on PS4 as well as PS5, so that buys me a little bit more time before I have to shell out a ridiculous amount of money. So I am excited about that, and I am beyond excited for the next God of War.
Can't wait to beat the shit out of Thor.
It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
But also we got, they're still aiming the Horizon Forbidden West, still on track to release this holiday season. And I do have I have some PS4 and PS5 differences. So the PS5 version supports a 60 FPS performance mode. The PS5 version features 3D audio and DualSense features. The PS5 uses cinematic grade lighting system. PS4 can only use it in cutscenes. PS5 version has a special rendering technique for underwater sequences, and the PS4 version should be largely identical beyond performance and graphics, which is about what you would think between a previous gen game and a next gen game. But
if you played on the PS4, be sure to turn your TV up twice the volume. Otherwise, your PS4 is going to blast its fans and overtake any game volume that you may have going.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah, so the game is still on track, right? This one is Forbidden West. Yeah.
Yes, for holiday yeah. this year.
Yeah, that's right, because yeah. of the direct last week. It was God of War that was late. Yep, and you said that. Mm-hmm. I was just like, man, when games get pushed, you're just like, wait, which ones were that?
Yeah, but for God of War, I'm like,
yeah, exactly.
Do it. We've seen what happens. And speaking of that, CD Projekt Red. Oh.
I'm waiting for Cyberpunk 2078.
2077.5.
0.1.3.2.
Christmas going into 2078.
Oh man.
Did you guys see that what was it, the Reddit post that I posted on our chat? And the guy was like, well, I wanna read this for our many fans out there. Someone posted on the Reddit, and I don't know when this was posted, but the Reddit post on r/ Cyberpunk game. The title is, does anyone else just feel empty? I've been crying the last few days, and it's been titled as discussion, and the content is as follows. I took a week off work to play this game, and I quickly realized it's not the game I've been thinking about every day for 8 years. I cried myself to sleep and haven't been able to function. I end up crying whenever I think about the game, and I don't even want to touch my PS4. This was supposed to be the future of gaming, and now I don't know what else I have to look forward to.
Mike, did you write that?
No, I didn't. I just love laughing at people suffering.
Well, speaking of suffering, CD Projekt Red's quarter one 2020 net profits are down 65%, mostly in part to fixing Cyberpunk 2077. Oh, Jesus. It said the company saw record-breaking positive cash flows. Yeah, lower than usual net profitability is mainly due to continuing. What's that? Well, that's a word I can't read right now.
So I don't understand what that means. They had positive cash flow, which means cash was flowing into the company and it was record breaking, but their net profitability dropped. So how do you have record breaking positive cash flows, but you also have a 65% drop in net profitability? How does that work? Is positive cash flow just literally raw cash that comes into the company, or has this been explained? Because to me, I'm not an economics guy, so this sounds like a contradiction.
Oh my goodness. I'm looking at their our commitment to make Cyberpunk 2077 a long-term success. So released 10/12/2020, hotfix 1.4, hotfix 1.5, hotfix 1.6, 2021, patch 1.1, hotfix 1.1, patch 1.1, hotfix, multiple patches and updates. That's just up until today. And then free DLCs, next gen edition coming next quarter. And they have a whole chart here of their stability improvement where they're like, guys, look, we're getting more stable. This is our crash rate. Our crash rate is going down.
There's no numbers. Oh, what are the numbers even? Like, and then look at, like, they added patch 1.2 and it got worse.
Right. Oh, these guys.
They're saying, yeah, they have the depreciation of the Cyberpunk 2077 development expenditures, huh? And work on updating a game and R&D activities related to future projects.
Yeah, they also reiterated that they're still planning on releasing in addition to the next gen edition of 2077. It also is planning on releasing versions of The Witcher 3 and location-based AR mobile game The Witcher Monster Slayer, so Pokemon Go.
Stop chasing trends.
Yeah, this.
And game. Then I think they also said the reason the sales are down is, well, Sony pulled our game from their store, so we're not making monies there.
That was their fault.
All right, so let's go through real quick, and we'll start with Panda Pat. What have you been playing lately?
Me! I have been playing and reading Resident Evil. So I got all the Resident Evil games on the Switch that are available for the Switch, because I'm cool like that. And so I'm starting from zero. And I actually am reading the books while I'm playing the games, which is really fun because then I know when the boss battles are going to happen. So
aren't the books fun?
They are. I am loving them. I really want to get a bunch of people together and voice act the books so I can listen to it all the time.
I remember reading Resident Evil 1 when I was like in sixth grade. I read the novelization and then I loaned it to my cousin, Steven. And then I remember we were like out the movies with my cousin Steven and my aunt. And my aunt was like telling my mom, you know that book that Michael loaned Steven? And my mom was like, yeah. And my aunt was like, you know how much pretty language it's got in there? Oh, really? And I was like, like, Michael, did you know this? I was like, no. I love the books. The book, I mean, like, they're trash, but they're good trash.
Yeah, well, I like it because it's just basically a novelization of the game. Like, I'm noticing the farther along I get in the game, the more exactly it is the same. And I love that. So I've been playing Origin. I'm struggling because I don't like having to, like, switch back and forth from characters. I just want to play the woman. I just want to play Rebecca. Like, I don't care about Billy. Go fuck off. So that, and then I beat the second half of Mortal Kombat, and there's two endings. Spoiler alert. The Shang Tsung ending leads into him becoming a giant, so that's pretty cool. I want to beat the Mortal Kombat and become a giant. It doesn't make sense unless you play it. So I beat that. That was exciting. Like I said, I haven't beat a fighting game in years, and this is nice because I actually beat it, and I really love the storyline that they did. So it's pretty interesting. And then other than that, I've just played a little bit of like Pokemon. I also got the Final Fantasy 10 and 10-2 for Switch, which I'm excited to play after I'm done with Resident Evil. But yeah, I haven't started it.
Oh, nice. I've been wanting to play those again, too. Mm-hmm. Never played 10-2, but I did play the first one.
Most people have it, and I actually haven't played 10. I've only played 10-2. Dress what gears, guys!
What about you, Jamie?
I just playing? Mainly Resident Evil 7. I streamed that all on our Twitch channel, and I finished that last night. So that was, it was a pretty good game. I thought they did well with it. I'd probably say like an 8 out of 10 for me. So I enjoyed it.
Cool.
I've got a debate on Platinum. I mean, my backlog is atrocious. And so, I mean, there is, spoiler alert, I mean, the game is 4 years old. But yeah, there are two endings to the game. So I've only gotten one ending, and then there is, to get the Platinum, you do have to beat it in under 4 hours. There's only use, like, 3 heal items and only open the item chest, like, 3 times. There's a couple of the gold trophies, so that's going to suck. And also beat it on the hardest difficulty, so that's at least 2 more run-throughs. And if I'm doing a speed run, I don't know if I can do the bobbleheads and the coins, because I missed, I think I missed two... information pieces, 2 coins and 2 bobbleheads or something along those lines. So, but pretty thorough for never playing the game. I found almost everything. Did play a little bit more RE5 with a buddy last week. So still working towards Platinum on that. That's a slow just game we play together every once in a while. So, but it was hard to go from RE7 to 5 because I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. That's what that button does here. But still, it's just an easy, fun game. And then that game we're going through with infinite shotgun ammo. So that one's just really fun right now. But yeah, that's mostly what I've been playing.
Cool. What about you, Dungeon Master?
Okay, so I'm struggling to get to the end of one of the campaigns in Fire Emblem Three Houses. I haven't played it in a week because I think I'm just totally burnt out. Did you listen to the previous episodes? Do I have to repeat, like, kind of like, just 2 minutes of like what the game is?
I've listened, but maybe for listeners who are jumping on, you can go ahead and do it.
Sure. Fire Emblem Three Houses has 4 full-blown campaigns in it. I'm on one of the campaigns. This is my first playthrough, and I'm running up on 70 hours. This is for one campaign, and there's 4 of them. When you do New Game Plus, you can speed some things up in the campaign. I've heard commonly that your second campaign is 20 to 30 hours. And I'm just struggling to just complete one campaign. I think I need to take a break. So I haven't touched Fire Emblem in a week. So I've been mainly focusing on Legend of Heroes Trials of the Sky, which is game one in like a series of 8 full-fledged JRPGs. But I recently, on a whim, decided to buy the Mass Effect Legendary Edition.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent 2 hours deciding if I wanted to play male Shepard or female Shepard.
Important decisions.
And then I looked at the romance options and I was like, okay, I think I'm going to be male Shepard because I like the male Shepard romance options more than the female romance options. Yeah. I know Ryan, Uncanny Riot, modded the game so he can get like some of the romance options for a male Shepard. And like it seems like it's a little bit slanted towards straight men. I think the creators of BioWare have recognized that as such, because that was literally the deciding factor. Like, all of the romances for female Shepard were not as appealing as, like, the characters were not, like, I would argue, as crucial to the story as male Shepard's romance options. That's mm-hmm. just my opinion. So, you know, I'm playing male Shepard. And I'm enjoying it, and I think I may be done with Final Fantasy 8 Village, Resident Evil 8 Village. I was playing that up to last week, and I enjoyed it, but I think I'm ready to uninstall it, and then just Poker Night. I've been playing some Poker Night.
Nice.
Which is, for those of you who don't know, you play poker with Ash from the Evil Dead series, Sam from Sam & Max, Claptrap from Borderlands, and Brock from Venture Brothers. And nice. It was a Take-Two Studios before they went under.
Nice. So for me, I've just been on a big sports game kick. So I've been playing the show 21, get some baseball on and some NBA 2K21. But yeah, so it's just been really sports games for me. Nothing super exciting.
Just real quick, Mike, have you played the DLC for RE7? I know you completed RE7, but did you play the DLC?
I didn't. I considered going back and playing RE7 specifically for the DLC. Instead, what I did was I just read a summary of it.
Okay, I was just curious if you thought it was worth playing. So,
I think it may be worth playing, especially where you're at, because the DLC is only going to be a couple hours.
Okay.
Because there are, this was intentional. There are plot holes. When I say plot holes, I don't mean weakness of the story. But they are purposely unresolved things. And since you just finished number 7 and you're getting ready to dive into 8, I think it would be worthwhile to just play it. Because those plot holes or unresolved plot points will not get addressed in Village.
Okay.
I think it's also viable to read a summary of it. I think if you... This is, again, my opinion, but if you play the DLC for 7, because in one of them you get to play as Chris, the events of 8 have more impact.
Okay. And I think that's the free one they give you when you beat the game, so.
Yeah, the Not a Hero campaign, I think is what it's called.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
I was just curious while we were here chatting, just in case people were curious about it too.
Okay, so we're on to the last little bit of the episode. So I'm going to start it out like this. About 65 million years ago, a meteorite crashes into the Earth, killing the dinosaurs and splitting the universe into two parallel dimensions. the surviving dinosaurs cross into a new dimension and evolve into a humanoid race. 20 years ago, a mysterious woman leaves a large egg, along with a rock, at a Catholic orphanage. As she attempts to leave, she is accosted by President Blank.
Trump.
Who demands the location of the rock.
This is what I'm going
to
do.
Rocks then fall onto the woman, killing her. The egg hatches, containing an infant girl. And then, do we know what happens from there, everybody?
You guys do that. I'm going to get me another drink. That way you can get a break from me. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to start playing. So I will be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
He left at the best part of the episode.
Yes, he did. He'll be back. But what I have told you is the beginning plot of the 1993 blockbuster Super Mario Bros.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Okay, so we're going to talk kind of about, just semi-briefly, about our thoughts on this masterpiece. And
so let's start with why we're talking about this. Should we just...
Yes, go ahead.
I happen to be, you know, Google gives you the cards every day of like things you might be interested in. So one of them popped up and it talked about the original Super Mario Brothers movie and that it's possibly getting an extended cut fan release. Which I was like, oh, that's so interesting. I'm sending this to the podcast chat. And yeah. So as Lucas said earlier, I think in the episode, bad video game movies have always been a thing. And yes. Oh my goodness. I remember getting somewhat excited for this movie back because I was
Oh yeah.
This was huge. Yeah, they're making a Mario movie. And
right? Oh, yeah. No, I was there. So Chet, this is interesting, right? So in 2012, a webcomic sequel was produced for it, but it remained the only live-action film based on a Nintendo game property until Detective Pikachu in 2019. And there is a Mario reboot film in progress since 2018 with Universal Pictures and Illumination, the guys who did the Despicable Me stuff, with Miyamoto is actually serving as the co-producer alongside the founder of Illumination. And that's supposed to come out next year, 2022. We are talking about the 1993 smash hit Super Mario Brothers.
I got the power. That was on a preview.
God damn it, Mike.
Guys, I saved my last shot of Jose Cuervo. But I left it down in the kitchen in the bottle, so I had to go get it.
Yes. So, Mike, just jump right into it. You got the fucking spotlight right now. Tell us what you thought about that movie.
I love it. I know it is shit. I know... That oh, quiet everyone!
They disagree Sorry, with dog. You so hard that they're like, no, Mr. Mike, do not do this.
I love it. I don't know why, because by every metric, it is a horrible movie. But I love it. That's one of the few movies that I can jump in at any minute in its runtime and sit down and watch the rest of it.
As long as they're in the club dancing.
Yes, in the club. My favorite part is when like this old lady talks to Mario and Luigi and says, "You guys are new here, aren't you?" And they're like, "Yes, ma'am, we're new here." Okay. Well, then get out of my way. And she brings out like a 5-foot taser and she tries to like kick the shit out of him.
No, that's one of my favorite parts. The best part in the movie is when Mario is seducing the lady to get the rock back from her. That's the best part in the club.
I don't know.
Before she gives him the rocket boots, the big lady in the red dress.
Yes.
Yes, that's the best part.
Just in case people are not Super Mario Brothers the movie aficionados, I don't remember the actor's name.
So we had Bob Hoskins was playing Mario. We had John Leguizamo was playing Luigi Mario.
Oh, yes.
We had Dennis Hopper as President Koopa. We had Samantha Mathis as Princess Daisy. And then Mojo Nixon was Toad. Big Bertha, that was the lady's name. Big
Dennis
Bertha.
Leguizamo.
John Leguizamo.
No. Dennis Hopkins Lymphoma Leguizamo.
Oh my God.
Luigi. They were drunk 100% of the time.
Yep, there was a point where they were drunk driving the car and they ran into something and Bob Hopkins broke his left hand, so he had to wear a cast the rest of the movie.
Yes. And you can see that cast in some of the shots.
Oh, God.
And did you know who they originally wanted to play Mario? I'll take that silence as a no. Originally, they pitched Tom Hanks. And they said, no, he's not big enough of a star.
Wow, that was a mistake.
And they shot down. Or was it the greatest thing to never happen to Tom Hanks?
That was a mistake.
Did you also know that there's a post-credit scene?
Is that when, like, Daisy comes in and she looks like Ripley? And she's like,
No.
You won't believe what I've gone through.
That's the end of the. That's just the end of the end of the movie. There's a post-credit scene.
Wait, hold on a second. You see Mario's fist bump Luigi's fist.
No, this is not Wario's, a Sonic game.
Wario's fist bumps them, and they have like a threefold fist bump. And you're just like, what? Who's in the yellow?
No.
Come on.
The post-credit scene is two Japanese business executives propose making a video game based on Iggy and Spike, the two minions who are now on Earth, who decide to decide on the title The Super Koopa Cousins. That is the post-credit scene.
Wow.
For Super Mario.
What did they even...
You mean I lived my entire life living my dreams, going through the motions and holding that movie in such high esteem, and I never knew it had a post-credit scene.
See, this is why we need to watch it again. So it cost between $42 to $48 million to make. It only made $38.9 million.
Wow. And this was back in the 90s. So
this is in the 90s,
well,
yes. Video game movies.
They were trying to copy Jurassic Park. And it didn't work. And they realized we're really bad at this, and video games do not make good movies. And they didn't understand why. So,
well, I was wondering what source material they used for this.
I just want to be in the room when they showed the completed project to Mr. Arakawa and the head of Nintendo of America. And they were like, here it is.
It was probably the same reaction when they showed Akira Toriyama the finished Dragon Ball Evolution movie.
Mm. Mm.
They cried.
And they started singing Lahi.
Lahi! I love that video. I watch it every day because I live off of the uncomfortable... ness of the pianist.
Mm.
She looks so uncomfortable.
All right, Panda Pat, before we wrap this up, what were your first, like, when was do you remember first watching the movie and what you thought about it?
I was very young. I was sad that Yoshi didn't have more lines, obviously,
because he was an actual fucking dinosaur.
Yeah. But he was my favorite, and I wanted to be best friends with the Goombas because I thought they would protect me. other than that, I always thought it was weird because I was like, I didn't understand them switching between the real world and the animated world. I was very confused about that.
I don't think that's the one. That's the TV show.
What?
That's the Super Mario Brothers TV show. That's not the movie.
It doesn't have the same actors?
Oh, no.
No, the TV show was amazing. Yeah.
The TV show was really good. For some reason, they're into pasta.
Yeah, no, that's the one with the wrestler in it that's playing Mario, and they have like special guest people, you know, Cyndi Lauper.
Was that the one that was kind and of like Mr. Like Rogers' Neighborhood, basically?
Yeah, yeah, and they were like in their little basement or whatever.
And then they'd
they
show
were at,
like
yeah.
a 5-minute cartoon, like every like.
Yeah, and I remember being so mad because they kept showing the Zelda previews, and I thought I kept missing a hidden Zelda cartoon, but it wasn't. It was just those, next week on Zelda, and then it would play, like, next week on The Legend of Zelda, and it would play, like, a 30-second clip of what's going to happen next week, but there was never an actual show.
There was an actual show.
No.
And it was horrible.
No.
And his line was, "Excuse me, princess."
Ooh, hold on. Hold on.
There was a Zelda show, bitch.
I do remember that from the previews.
Oh, he just brought out the B word on you, Luke.
It's okay. He's drunk. Yeah, well, okay, one season. Let's see. 89. 10 episodes. Oh my goodness. Hold on, wait a minute.
I want to read the manga for Zelda.
I've read the one for the Twilight Princess, and they were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I will have to go and try and find this because I'm seeing it, but it's not. It went from September 8th to December 1st of 1989. That was it.
Yeah, it was like half a season long.
Apparently, so running time was 15 minutes. Each episode was 15 minutes, and they made 13 of them.
Yep.
But yes. Yes, that's if we had Uncanny Ryabon, he would do the entire Super Mario Brothers rap because he knows it by heart. So maybe I'll get him to do that, and then I'll pop it in at the end of this episode. But speaking of the end of the episode, that's where we're at right now. So anyone got anything they want to throw out there before we wrap this up?
Awesome. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Make sure to go check out the other shows over on GNN. Everyone's starting to ramp back up due to not being locked away from the public as much anymore. So, yeah, just keep an eye out for the new shows coming up. Hey, Captain.
Yes, sir.
What was that thing again?
Oh, yeah. So over the next week, while you guys are all waiting for E3 shows to come on, you guys should all game harder.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello, I'm the podcaster without fear, Luke.
I'm the uncanny Ryan.
I am Kylie the Poodinger.
I am the superior Caitlin.
And I am the agitated Kyle.
And we are most of the Nerd Dome Podcast.
Every Friday, some variation of this group gets together and talks about all things nerd.
The newest stuff in TV, movies, comics, video games, and more.
So join us in the Dome every Friday to hear all things nerd.
From a bunch of people who are probably a bit too into it.
This show is part of the Geek Nerd Network.
Geek Nerd Network.
Find more shows like it at geeknerdnetwork.com.
This is Jen.